are very quick talks. Now, Simon's briefing to talk about where we are with facial surgery right now, how what we can do, and also possibly what we can't do.
Ian, thank you very much. Thank you for your introduction. You're right about the fact I enjoy operating, but my kids will tell you that I'm quite good at making tree houses as well, which I'm making at the moment. And I hope by the end of the talk that my colleagues here don't wish that I was making tree houses every day. Barts in London, the Royal London, especially is level one trauma centre in London, and we are sadly known for our experiences in the 7/7 bombs, and also for the Virgin Air Ambulance, what you see on your bottom left. And the bottom right is what our new hospital will look like. Whether we can pay for it remains to be seen. Why do I like my job? Well, I think my job is a fusion of art and science. We're going to hear from Andrew shortly, and I don't want to steal his thunder, but very much want to back what Andrew does with his imaging. But imaging is key to understanding the disease, whatever the etiology, be it cancer, be it a congenital deformity, or in my case, being trauma. I am sponsored by Peabody's, who are a coffee shop, who try and make sure that I don't drop my blood caffeine level too low. As you can see, the office, as Ian will tell you, is often the sign of a busy mind. Ian's also right that I love my patients, and it breaks my heart to see patients referred to me like this. And following on from David's talk, I often don't get the choice of whether I see patients with body dysmorphic disorder because they come in on the slab from the helicopter or from the arm of East London. But a lot of them are not very happy, as you can see here, and he is... hopefully this time next year I'll show you the post-ops he's just been referred, as is the next patient, because it breaks my heart to see young lads like this who you can't go to a party or disco or pick up a new chick with a face like that. What we, in parallel with what we can do with our surgery, we must accept the fact that our anaesthetists are getting so much better at keeping people alive. I think with that, you've got to very much make sure that you can deliver as a surgeon the goods. Otherwise, you'll have a lot of people walking around with true dysmorphic disorders. I'm aware that some people, and you don't know how long this slide took me to make, by the way. But what I want you to think about is consider the face essentially as a tent. I'd like you to consider the skeleton of the face as the frame of the tent. The lining is the muscles, the ligaments, the fat, the blood vessels, etc. And the fabric, which people see, is the skin. And the challenge, I think, is to be able to replace all of these structures in the correct anatomical proportions, in the correct anatomical positions, without leaving an audit trail behind of where you've been. So what are the advances? Well, imaging, we can know exactly our enemy, know exactly what's wrong with the patient, know exactly the size of the tumour, know exactly the bit of bone missing, know exactly how deformed patients are. We've made great strides over the last 20, 25 years in materials, titanium plates which don't set metal detectors off at airports. Thank goodness for that, otherwise I'd spend my life writing letters. These materials are very, very, very well tolerated. The use of non-metallic instrument materials such as fillers, such as implants to actually bolster soft tissue contour. We've learned a great deal about how to get into the face without leaving an audit trail, without leaving a scar. I'm going to show you some slides and some films on endoscopy with technology within other industries. We've now made cameras as thin as 1.5 millimeters, which can explore various parts of the body which you otherwise couldn't see. And I've championed, along with Habib Elamouchi, who's our neurosurgeon in the audience here today, the multidisciplinary facial trauma team, where we have lots of different surgeons with lots of different skills who come together in the common interests of the patients. And I think that is a very important way ahead. And we're also, I'm afraid, going to talk a little bit about free tissue transfer and face transplants as well. So here he is. Here is the cage-fighting barrister. That's quite a good one to get right, by the way, if you have to. And he had his surgery 3 weeks ago, prior to picture, and... I wonder how many people think the eye that I've operated on is his left eye. He's had half his eye socket repaired 3 weeks previously. Who thinks his bad eye is a left eye? Who thinks the bad eye is the right eye? Well, some people don't know. Probably they both look bad. But, you know, I certainly didn't want my joining my waiting list of patients if I got it wrong. But his operation is the left eye, and you can see because the crow's foot on the very lateral aspect of his eye is where we go in. That's the only stigmata, and that's 3 weeks, and that will vanish. Those of you who have half an eye in Vogue and Cosmopolitan, which I have to say I do, will notice that he's got less bags on the right side, because the same approach is used for transconj blepharoplasty for 40-year-olds who want to get rid of the bags. So one of the things we sometimes do, don't tell my managers, but is do a blepharoplasty the other side to even them up, because I don't see why your bad eye should look better than your good eye. So where were we last? Well, 10, 15, 20 years ago, there were two or three centres around London that were regarded as leading edge. And I won't name where this lady was treated, but this lady is now, after two revisions at that institution, a very good institution it was. But what was available to them in 1989 is very different to what is available to me now. And if you look at the lady, look at the close-ups, you'll still see the scar about a centimetre and a half below the right eye. And she's flat. I hope you can see that. And her eyelid is bigger on the right than the left, and she tilts her head all the time. When you correct her head, you'll see that one eye is actually lower than the other. That's not a good look. She, following on from David's talk, she will not present herself to family photos. She will not go out in the street with her kids. Her kids' relatives say, why is your mum so cookie-looking? Cookie-looking? What does cookie-looking mean? But it certainly isn't something which is a valuable attribute. And What I'd like to show you now, we're going to look underneath the skin and look at the skull itself. And you can see that there's a great deal of problems here. You can see that the cheekbone on the right-hand side is about a centimetre and a half behind the cheekbone on the left-hand side. And the contour is completely different. And that is enough to throw the face out of balance and enough to give her the stigmata of what's happened. We now have materials. Titanium is very well tolerated, and these are the new plates that we pioneered at Whitechapel, although we didn't come up with the data. These are plates which are designed by very clever people, and these plates conform to about 95% of the human populace, which I find absolutely fantastic. So in fact, you know, sod Kate Moss and pardon my French and all these beautiful people, but actually our eyeballs are pretty similar. David, I'm sure you'll be gratified with that. And that has been a great advance to us. And the other thing is with following our experience of patients with HIV disease and protease inhibitors who lose fat and look very strange, we realize that the facial contour is also made of fat. And if you look at, this is the skin stripped off, leaving the fat of the same patient. If I show you the what I'm talking about, the fat has descended on the right-hand side because during the surgery, the fat was lifted off from the skull and the fat has descended. So we can counter that by using a very expensive, don't tell my managers, but a very expensive carpet gripper made of polylactide, which we can stitch in place to hook the face and lift the pad up, and that dissolves and allows the face to reset. And that's been a great advance to me. Sydney Coleman, we're going to talk about stem cells later. Sydney Coleman takes fat at great expense from slightly fat Americans and sucks them up and spins the fat down to stem cells and pops them back in. And he maintains that unlike Restylane, which you will have read about, which dissolves, these cells keep on replicating themselves, hence their stem cells, and so they don't resorb, and so the contour stays the same. But he's noticed on the patients from Iraq that the wound healing is so much better, so there must be some knock-on effect from the stem cells in healing, which I think is very exciting. And when you put all that together, you can actually then break the cheekbone by using techniques through minimal access incisions, like painting your hall through a letterbox, You can then augment the soft tissues. You can rehang them where you want, and really there is very little now that you cannot do to correct things. Now this lady isn't. This is a post-op scan, and you'll see she's still swollen on the right side. This is one day post-op, but the contour is becoming much better already. So what about the endoscope? We talked about those. Well, in essence, an endoscope is just a very expensive camera that you can stick in places that you can't reach with anything else, and an endoscope is very useful within the realms of facial surgery because you can seal, for example, leaks from people's brains, which come from the nose in certain conditions. You can actually make tear ducts rather than have a permanently watering eye. You can bore out the face from the nose into the eyelid, which I think is quite sexy. you can repair the inside of the orbital wall on the, by the nose, which is a very difficult technical part to reach, and we can get rid of facial sinus problems from these types of diseases. So here's a chap who was shot in the right temple, and the bullet transgressed the skull base and ended up in the left maxillary sinus. You see the bright signal just there. If you look very closely and look at the sinuses above them, you'll see a green hue. The green hue is brain juice leaking out from the brain into the nose. This gives a patient a lifetime risk of meningitis of 80% within 10 years, and is a very unstable position to be in. Now, that's a difficult problem to fix, but I know a man that can, Mr. Sandeep Porn. So here he is with his little camera in the nose. I call it little camera, an expensive camera in the nose, and found a very elegant way to actually remove the bullet from him. He was then able to seal the leak using tensor fascia lata, which is tissue from the leg, which I was busy harvesting. You don't see me in this picture. I'm not very photogenic. While he's doing the exciting bit, I'm guddling around trying to find a bit to put back, and the patient went on to have a very good outcome. This is Andrew and Sandeep going in. Now, we're in the nose here. Now, do you see a bright light appearing? That is Andrew Coombs with his little laser prod in the tear duct of the lid, and he's ramming it through the tear duct through the lid into the nose. And you'll see him bounce it in a second, I hope, if I can remember the film exactly. There you go. And that's him from the eye, that's Sandeep in the nose, and all you do is you let A and B meet, and there you are. And that's your tract, which is following an anatomically correct bit. You're not just taking a bit of metal and shoving it somewhere, hoping that that looks about right, but you're actually doing it where God meant it to be. Because we know that about 80% of people who have a watery eye will end up suing people and have a very miserable existence, constantly walking around with a handkerchief in their face. So I think this is quite exciting surgery. We're also following satellite navigation. This is an endoscope, bottom right-hand side, and where the X you see on each slot in three different planes is where the tip of your instrument is. If I just orientate you, this is the face chopped at this plane here. These are the eyes, that is the nose, and this little fella around here is where the nerve to the eye is. So that's what makes your eye see sits. Now, you don't want a monkey around like with that, as I found to my cost yesterday. So you have to be sure of where you are. And the sat-nav allows you, although my wife tells me that she knows more than satellite navigation, but then again, my registrar often tells me he knows more than me, so there you are, harangued at home and harangued at work. But this tells you exactly where you are. So it's very useful for putting back fractures, as you see bottom left on the inside of the eye, which is hitherto an area which we couldn't reach into the right place. And here you see him 3 weeks following surgery, and he's back with his job as a chauffeur straight away, and you can see the plate that goes right up to the skull base on the x-rays, and right back exactly where we want it to go. And this is him saying how handsome and wonderful his surgeon is, and his surgeon doesn't have body dysmorphic disorder. But what he's actually saying is that he's very happy with life, and he's back to his job, and at the end of the day, none of his mates can see what's going on. And I think that, for me, is the nirvana. But we also must remember that what the patient sees, it doesn't really matter for the skull, because what the patient sees is not the skull, is not the fat. What she sees is the skin. And, you know, when you've been held down by a friend simply because your boyfriend's more attractive than her boyfriend and cut with a glass bottle, then that kind of gives you a slight slant on life that is rather jaundiced and horrible. And if you look at the picture bottom on your left-hand side, you know, that's a very bitter girl. And if she comes for a job to nanny your children, and there was somebody that didn't have the scars, you might kind of think, well, you know something, that other girl's CV is much better. Or if, you know, you met her in the pub or met her in a disco, you might not choose to ask for her telephone number. But the picture on the right-hand side is a much softer face. And I apologize for the color difference. It's because Whitechapel is unable to take pictures with the same film and the same camera, it seems. But you know, that's a much softer picture and a much nicer picture. And there's love and hope in her eyes. There's hatred and despair in her eyes. And that is the same patient. And it's not touched up, believe it or not. But that's a lot of work to get her to that. So, just a few slides of the multidisciplinary team. This is Natashka, who has now had a lot of work done to her and has gone from probably the most awful facial degloving injury. And so much accent is spent looking at facial transplants, but the bottom line is you can achieve an awful lot by conventional surgery. And she is now back at work, just about, and is having a good life. Has been enlarging it up in Ibiza, putting all our plates to great testing, and is actually quite happy with life. So there is life after these devastating injuries, I can assure you. This is one from Habib and myself, showing the craniofacial approach, the craniofacial approach popularized by Paul Tessier in France in the 70s, not backed by research, just backed by bravado, but he's left us with a great legacy. And here you can see a truly awful, I suppose it's the hidden cost of going green because he fell off his push bike and did this. But that's a very, very complex and difficult fracture to treat, with very many aspects involving infection, involving leak from the brain, involving brain herniating out through the skin. And the post-op view starts to look like a skull again. It's what I would like you to look for is the symmetry and the fact that this man's jaws aren't wired together, so he's able to eat his burger about half an hour after he wakes up, is quite a reasonably looking guy. I guess, you know, the good Lord made Apple Macintosh on day 8 of the world creation, and you know, it's amazing what you can do with 3D images and a bit of titanium, as you can see there. Face transplantation. Well, when I was surfing the internet late at night, you'll understand. And, you know, what I'm amazed that John Travolta and Nicolas Cage must be, in fact, identical, because in the film Face Off, there was no rejection of either of the face. And I must say their scars healed very well. So I must pop over to Hollywood and see what's going on. And the other two pictures are obviously taken by people who have more time than I do. That's, I think, half of Tom Cruise on the right. And I think Gordon Ramsay, why? I don't know who has the greater intellect, Gordon Ramsay or Katie Price, but sorry, I shouldn't say things like that, but there you go. But this really follows the work. The most amazing case I think I've ever seen is this one of Miss Kerr, who whose face was wrenched off by an agricultural implement, I'm not quite sure, presumably belt-driven in India, and the face is replanted, and here you see her some years later. And that just showed, I think, the world what could be achieved with microvascular anastomosis and transfer. And the bottom line is that the cases that are always shown, that they're very stereotyped, so there are not many people in the world that actually need a face transplant. I think there are more surgeons that want to do one than actually need to be able to do them. And I think we'll go into that very shortly. But the case of the bear mauling in China, with bottom left, I think was an incredible result. And he's dead 2 years later. Now, the question mark, would he have had the operation if he knew that he was going to be dead in 2 years? I think that's a very important question to ask. And breaking news, I got this off the internet last night. And I love the quotes. I'm not a monster, I'm a person. I think it's more important that you focus on the donor family. I think this is an amazing result. Whether it's a good result, I'll ask you to be the judge, because I have to say it looks like two faces bolted together. And I think that's you know, testament to the skill of the surgeons that made that tissue alive, and hats off to them. And it's a great result in comparison to what she was prior. But at the end of the day, it's. I'll leave it to you as to think whether you think it's 100% successful. But the reality is, I always teach my colleagues, and this is the last slide you'll be pleased to know, that to have a plan B. So when you're doing an operation, always have a way out if things go wrong. And that's probably the disadvantage about face transplants, because if it goes wrong, you're back to square one. Having said that, if you have no plan B, like the girl that you see in the middle is the lady that you see top right. Now, if you're that lady, I think I'd be prepared to take the chance. I wouldn't care whether she got my face. Well, perhaps I would care if she got my face, but looks-wise. But I think you have to really think that face transplant has a role. But it is the glacé on the sugar, on the cherry, on the icing, on the top sponge, on the vanilla icing, on the strawberry jam, on the bottom sponge, on the base plate. I didn't think I was going to be able to say that. And how many people do you need to do it? And you've got to make sure that the people that are doing it are able to make the foundations right, make the bone right, make the fat right, make the ligaments right. Otherwise, they are not going to come up with the goods. And we should enable these people. We should have good research, both in assessment of patients and also in anti-rejection medication. What I would say to you, though, is if you look at Simon Weston, who's a personal history, idol of mine, I think he's an amazing man. He had 71 operations to make his face like that. Now, we recognize him as Simon Weston, and somehow he doesn't have a sting anymore because that's Simon Weston. But if you saw him cold de novo, you wouldn't think that was a great face. And I think the psychiatry in following David's talk is a very interesting way ahead. Thank you very much for your attention.